Invite everybody to please stand, and if you have your Bibles, or if you use your phone, to open up to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, we will read verse 1 through 12, and then we'll jump down to verse 24, and then we will jump down to verse 30. And don't worry, I will let you know when we jump. So it's a lot, but this is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John the Apostle. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit begging?" Some said, "He's the one." Others were saying, "No, but he looks like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So when I went and washed, I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. And then verse 13, they brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. The day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes was a Sabbath. Verse 24. So a second time they summoned the man who had been blind and told him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see." Starting in verse 30. "This is an amazing thing," the man told them. "You don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything." "You were born entirely in your sin," they replied. "And are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, and when he found him, he asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" he asked. Jesus answered, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do not will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" "If you were blind," Jesus told them, "you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing day. Jesus, we praise you that you open our eyes physically, spiritually, emotionally. You are the one that comes to us. You are the one that pursues us. You are the one that touches, heals, forgives, restores, and gives new life. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher. Father, pour your love into our hearts. May my words be only your words and nothing more. And Father, I pray that you'd bring great encouragement and comfort and healing, conviction. May you, Jesus, be glorified today. And we ask these things in your name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, if you're here for the first time, welcome to the church at Woodbine. If you're worshiping with us online, welcome. My name is Doug Jones, and I'm the campus and teaching pastor here. And we're going through the Gospel of John. And we've been looking at how Jesus pursues relationships. He pursues the broken. He pursues the lost. He pursues those in darkness. And I have a question for you. How many of you all have had to walk through your house with no lights on and you've stubbed that tiny little toe on your foot and then you had to go to confession after what you said? Anybody? All right, I'm sure most of us have. We've had to walk in the dark. Well, I've got two stories I want to share with you. One is from the scriptures, but two happened to me when I was in second grade. We had moved from North Carolina to Jackson, Tennessee, and I'd started school, and we had fall break, or I can't remember when it was in the fall, but about five or six families decided to go camping at Natchez Trace, which was in between the Tennessee River and Jackson. So there's about 50 of us, and we're camping. And this was way back in 1979. You can go, whoo, when there was no such thing as glamping. Okay, that's a new thing. This is hardcore camping, and there might have been a porta potty like a mile away from our site, but we're in the middle of nowhere, and it was a blast. And one night, I had to go pee. And everybody was still awake. I remember the campfire, but I had to go. And so my mom was like, I'll take you. So we walked the trek up to the porta potty, and we didn't have a flashlight. Like, we had been there for 3 or 4 days. And on the way back, I can still remember, it's like, man, it's dark. I mean, the moon wasn't out. I can still remember walking down the trail. My mom and I were talking. And so I'm in second grade. I'm little. And about that time, we hear, and my mom freaked out. She grabbed my hand and said, it's a wild hog. It's a wild hog. And we had just moved to Tennessee. We had not been in Tennessee that long. And so she thought she had heard this wild boar. And about that time, we heard this roar from behind us. And this man came out from behind the bushes. And then we heard all this laughter. And all the dads and my brothers, they had all hidden in the bushes, and they scared us. But it freaked us out. Now, I love to scare people these days. But in the dark, in places you don't know, can be scary. It can be unnerving. It can be very unsettling. Think about this blind man here. John chapter 9. We read a lot of this chapter. We're going to blitz through it because we've got baptisms today. Not just one baptism. Not two baptisms. Not three baptisms. Four. So we're going to try to cover 41 verses in 15 minutes, okay? Think we can do it? Here in this story, right here in John chapter 9, and I want to remind you, the Apostle John, Jesus' best friend, when he wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote it at the end of his life. He was the only surviving apostle. The rest had already been martyred for their faith. John had been shepherding and pastoring and leading, and all the other three Gospels had been written, and he wrote the last one. And John declares at the very end of this Gospel, of the Gospel of John, he writes and he shares the purpose of why he wrote this gospel. And it's John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And this is what John said in that verse. If you want to turn to it, you can. It should be up on the screen. But John chapter 20, verse 30 says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, referring to the gospel. He goes, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is the purpose of why this gospel was written. And John the Apostle, he only pulled out 7 miracles, and Jesus did many more. And this is one of those miracles right here. It's one of only 2 miracles recorded in all the gospels that happened in Jerusalem. I wonder why. And John chapter 9 is right after John 8. Where Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world. And at the very end of John chapter 8, you guys can go back, you can read it. But Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And it says that they picked up stones to stone Jesus. And then right here, John chapter 9, verse 1. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now think about the story. Jesus, they threatened to stone Jesus. And we don't know exactly, was this story, did it happen right after, a couple hours later, a couple days later? We don't know. But Jesus has enemies, men who hate him, men who want to stone him, who want to kill him because they believe he's making himself out to be God, equal to God as just a mere man. And after that threat, Jesus just walks away. And it says he just so happens to walk by a man who's born blind. And what do his disciples ask? Jesus, Rabbi, who's to blame because this man is born blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? You see, back during the time of Jesus, it was a very common belief that if someone was suffering, someone had to be at fault. They had to have sinned or their parents had to have sinned. And here was the thought. The reason was because God is good and holy and he does no evil and he doesn't tempt anyone to sin. So if someone is suffering, they're at fault or one of their family members are at fault, but someone's at fault beside God. Now think about it for yourself in our own lives. When something bad happens to us, what do we say? Oh God, why me? And for many of us, we begin to confess all of our sins and even make promises to God. God, I promise I will never do, fill in the blank. I promise God, I'll start praying and going to church and start serving just as long as you get. How many of us have done that? Where we go through a very difficult, hard time, we fall in this valley and we start making promises to God or we start confessing every single sin because we think that the reason we're suffering is because we're guilty of something. It's very common. So back in Jesus' day, his disciples asked Jesus, who's guilty? Why was he born blind? Did he sin or did his parents? And I asked the question, how in the world could he have sinned before he was born? Doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense. How does Jesus respond? Neither. What does Jesus say? It's actually very powerful. Here in verse 3, Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. There are many things that happen in this world, evil, horrific, wretched things. And I do ask God, God, why? It doesn't make sense. It's confusing. And I don't get it. And I don't understand it. And I don't even want to even begin to try to explain it because it is way above my pay grade. But in God's great wisdom, goodness, holiness, and sovereignty, he allows his children to suffer for his glory. And there are many times I don't understand how or why, but he's good and he's sovereign and it's for his glory. And Jesus answers his disciples, this man is born blind, but it's not because of any sin he has done, nor any sin from his parents, but it's so that God's work might be displayed. It's for his glory. And then what does Jesus do? I can imagine Jesus and the disciples are walking by. There's this beggar. He's always been there begging for food. The disciples ask Jesus about him. They stop. Then Jesus comes over to the man. He bends down. It says he spits into the dirt and he makes mud and he puts it on the man's eyes. Now, could you imagine? This man has not asked Jesus for a thing. He hadn't even asked for money. I'm sure it hasn't even crossed his mind to ask to be healed. And Jesus puts mud on his eyes and he says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he obeys. Think about that. He obeys. He gets up and he goes and washes. And Jesus and the disciples, they go on. Jerusalem is packed. This man gets to the pool. He washes. Now remember, he's never seen Jesus before. He's heard his voice, but he's never seen anyone before. You know, we laugh about walking in darkness, stubbing our toes, or being scared while you go camping. But think about being completely, totally blind for your whole life. Is this man 15 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old? It doesn't say, but his parents say later on, he's of age. So he's an adult. He's been blind his whole life. He's met Jesus once, and he obeys Jesus. That in of itself is sermon enough. Follow the steps of the blind man. When Jesus tells you to do something, go do it. Okay, we're dismissed. No. He obeys. And can you imagine? He's sitting there at this pool. He's washing his eyes, and all of a sudden, he sees the reflection of the water from the sunlight. All of a sudden, he can see colors for the first time. He sees blue. He sees green. He sees white. He sees orange. He sees yellow. He sees orange. He sees purple. He sees orange. I'm trying to do a joke. Can you imagine seeing for the first time, seeing people's faces, seeing people's smiles, seeing colors. Things that we take for granted is so common, and he can actually see people. He can touch people. He doesn't need a stick or a cane or any guide to take him along. He can see. He can see his own body. He can see the sun. And he begins to talk about it. And some people, it's crazy to hear the story, and we're not going to go back and read it. But some people are like, isn't this the guy that was begging his whole life? And some people are like, nah, it just looks like him. It can't be him. But he's like, no, it's really me. So they ask, so what happened? And he explains to them what happened. Some believe, some don't. And I can imagine there's almost this fight because what do they do? Well, where is Jesus? He's like, I don't know. I've never seen him before. That's a joke, guys. So they take him to the Pharisees. Why? Because the day Jesus healed him was a Sabbath. And what Jesus did, healing on a Sabbath, oh, that's work. Spitting in the dust, making mud, that's work. The Spirit gives life. Legalism kills. And so he's interrogated by the Pharisees. They're not rejoicing at all because of the great miracle that Jesus did. But they're angry and they're upset because Jesus broke the Sabbath according to their traditions. And they already have it out for Jesus. And so they interrogate him, and he explains, no, this man named Jesus, he made mud, he put it on my eyes, and I went to the pool and I washed, and now I can see. And they're getting upset and mad at him. And we read verse 24 and 25. We'll read it again. Let's stand. Real quick, stand up. They even call his parents, and they're like, is this your son? Yes, he's our son. Well, what happened? How can he see? And they're like, and they throw him under the bus. He is our son, but we do not know how he got his sight back. Ask him, he's of age. Why did they say that? Why did they throw their son under the bus? Why did they back up? Why didn't they defend their son? Because the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, were going to throw anyone out of the synagogues if they proclaimed Jesus as Messiah. And so instead of defending their son and proclaiming this is an amazing miracle, they hide. And no, ask him. And so they begin to interrogate him again a second time. And they say in verse 24, so a second time they summoned the man who had been blind and told him, give glory to God, because we know that this man is a sinner, Jesus. And he answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see. Let's have a seat. Many of us, when we talk about gospel conversations and sharing our faith, many of us, and I myself included, I don't know enough. I don't know enough about the Bible. What if they ask me a question that I can't answer? Oh, man, what if they ask something that's like really hard or offensive or difficult? How much did this man know about Jesus? About that much? But he testified what Jesus did in his life. He goes, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And they begin interrogating him again and again. And then this blind man begins to preach and teach these religious leaders. The religious leaders are so blinded by their hate and anger and legalism that they can't see. And this blind beggar, what didn't even pursue Jesus. Jesus pursued him. In verse 30, he begins to say, this is an amazing thing. The man told them, he says, you don't know where Jesus is from, yet he opened my eyes. And then he begins to preach because we know that God wouldn't listen to anyone unless he obeyed him and was God-fearing and does his will. That is who God listens to. Now, we could unpack several sermons right there. And he says, throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. You know that one of the major prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah is that he would open the eyes of the blind. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. Verse 34, the Pharisees getting super upset. You're born entirely in your sin, they replied. And you're trying to teach us? And they throw him out. Who's really blind? Who can really see? Verse 35 is this big shift. It says, Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out. So was it a few hours later, a few minutes later, the next day? We don't know. But a short time after, this blind man, this seeing man, was thrown out of the presence of the Pharisees, probably out of the synagogue. Jesus hears about it, and he finds him. And remember, this man has never seen Jesus before. And Jesus asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? Son of Man is a messianic title that comes out of Daniel of the Old Testament. And it's Jesus' favorite title that he gave himself as he proclaimed himself to be the Son of Man, Lord, Judge, Messiah. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And I love this. The blind man says, well, who is he, sir? And look at what it says, so that I may believe in him. And Jesus answered, you have seen him. I wonder if that blind man is thinking, I wonder who it is. I've only seen for like 6 hours. Who could it be? Who could it be? Maybe it was a day. You've seen him. In fact, he's the one talking to you right now. How does this blind man, this seeing man, how does he respond? And this is how all of us should respond. I believe, Lord, he said, and he worshiped him. This is one of the greatest declarations right here that Jesus is God. Because we should only worship the one true God. And right here, this man who can now see, he declares his belief in Jesus and he worships Jesus. It's a powerful declaration that Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God in the flesh. He's the eternal second person of the Trinity. And this man worships him. So think about it. In a few hours span, maybe a day or two, you have this man who's been a beggar and he's been blind since birth. He's touched by Jesus. He's healed by Jesus. He's persecuted. He's tormented. He's not believed by the religious leaders. He's thrown out of the synagogue. His parents disown him. He then sees Jesus. He worships Jesus. He truly was blind in every way, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And Jesus touched him. And now he can see physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. Jesus then goes on, and he said in verse 39, Jesus says, I came into the world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind. That's a strange phrase. It might not make sense. But Jesus judges to the very heart. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us, and he judges the intentions of our heart. And when Jesus talks about those who can see, cannot see, and those who can't see, can see, it's a spiritual reality because those who say that they're without sin are deceived and they're liars. They're deceiving themselves. You see, Scripture is very clear. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, John wrote a letter in first, we call it 1 John, but he wrote this letter about the same time he wrote the gospel. And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 7 through 9, this is what John said in 1 John. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to it. It'll be on the screen as well. But John says this in his letter. He says this, if we say we have no sin, or let me back at the verse 7, sorry. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son, covers us, all of our sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's that spiritual pride. Well, I don't have any sin. The Pharisees. When this blind man began to rebuke the Pharisees and declare and proclaim Jesus, how did they respond? You were born entirely in your sins and you're trying to teach us, and they threw him out. You see, they were deceiving themselves because they are full of so much pride because they thought, oh, we can see. But John also says in 1 John chapter 9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all, not some, all unrighteousness. Most of these Pharisees were spiritually blind. They proclaimed and thought that they could see, and they're blind as a bat with no radar. And when Jesus made this statement here, it says some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and they asked, "We aren't blind too, are we?" Oh, yes, you are. I know I blew through this story. I want to encourage you. Mary, where'd you go? Oh, is she downstairs? She's got homework. Mary, if you're watching this, you got homework. I want to encourage all of you guys, go back to this chapter, John chapter 9. Read it again and again. Meditate on it. There's so many things that we could pull out of this, but I want to lead you with 4 points. The first one is this. Jesus is the one who pursues us. He is the one who pursues us with his love and his compassion, his grace and his mercy. The second one is this, and we see this clearly in the blind man's life. Sometimes we will go through suffering and there is no good answer. Why? Why was this man born blind? Was a question I'm sure he asked and his parents asked his whole life. He didn't get an answer until he encountered Jesus. And that's just the reality. And that's where we have to trust him and rely on him, knowing that he is our good, faithful, great shepherd. And he leads us to good green pastures, but also through the valley of the shadow of death. The third point is this. It's the power of humility and the danger of pride. Our pride will blind us from seeing, but God gives great grace to the humble. The fourth point is this. Share what Jesus has done in your life to those around you. This blind man, he didn't hardly know a thing. But as he declared to the Pharisees, he goes, "One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." You don't need 2 degrees in theology to share what Jesus is doing in your life with your friends, coworkers, neighbors, family members, or even the stranger at Kroger or Walmart. Let's stand, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. And I want to invite the worship team to go ahead and come on back. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy, for your kindness. Jesus, we thank you that you not only pursue us, but you touch us with your presence and with your love and with your compassion. You are the one who opens our eyes. You are the one who heals us. You are the one who gives us new life. And Father, I pray now for anyone here who needs a special touch from you, Jesus, that you would do it. Jesus, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would give their lives to you today and they would worship you the way this blind man did. And Jesus, help all of us to faithfully share what you're doing in our lives with our time, our talents, our treasures, and your testimony of what you're doing in our lives. And we ask these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.